GIS has been traditionally used as technical tool, but in the 1990s, there was more of an approach to use GIS for social linkages, that is, citizen participation. And there is an increasing research on public participation, GIS applications. And a lot of that comes from geographers and planning. And what I was looking at was on the application of GIS for public participation from a local government perspective.
And talk about what those connections are. How does this geographic information increase or aid in citizen participation?
There are four areas of citizen participation, or rather citizen-oriented services that I identify. The first is citizen-oriented transit information, which is essentially using geospatial Web 2.0 platforms to provide real-time reports on traffic conditions, directions, and transit options. Google Transit is a very good example of this use.
And this is essentially where you can get directions on Google Maps, or is it something beyond that?
It is overlaid on the top of Google Maps,
okay.
But the information comes from the transit agencies. Information such as the stops of buses, the routes, the fare, and so on.
And so you can find out, okay, I'm stuck on Wisconsin Avenue. How long before the next bus comes?
Absolutely. Yeah. One can go on to his or her iPhone and put in the position and find out when the next bus is coming and what bus to take for the destination.
One of the other areas is citizen participation in planning and decision making. Talk a little bit about what that means.
That's a growing area. That is my area of interest, too. There is the use of public GIS for public participation in planning and decision making, but there's not as much use of GIS in planning and decision making as it should be. There is substantial growth in the use of geospatial Web 2.0 applications in other areas. One of the good examples of where GIS is being used in planning and decision making is that of the Portland Metro.
Mm-hmm.
They built a system called the Build a System tool, which used GIS, essentially Google Maps, on a platform to get feedback from citizens about their high-capacity transit plan for the region.
Hmm.
And that attracted over 6,000 citizens to come to their site, and they also got written feedback from many of those citizens.
And so the difference there was people could actually see the routes that were being proposed. Again, that 1,000 words, when you see how far it is going to be from your house, it's different than just reading what street it's on a piece of paper.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What the Portland Metro did was to give the transit routes on the map, on the top of Google Maps, and people could select the particular routes to vote for based on different criteria.
One of the other really interesting parts of your report, it talks about an acronym I've never heard before, VGI, which is essentially Citizen Volunteer Geographic Information. Tell us what that is, and you talk about it both in terms of what some folks are doing today, but also the potential in the future for this volunteer geographic information.
Yes, volunteer geographic information is a term that was coined by Michael Goodchild. He's a well-known geographer from University of California at Santa Barbara. What it refers to is the use of web to create, assemble, and disseminate geographic information voluntarily by individuals. Essentially, individuals act as sensors in the field who are intelligent enough to gather information about their surroundings. And this particular information is put using devices like GPS and others to the web instantaneously.
And we've seen some of those situations, people using Twitter to track house fires out in San Diego. In fact, we're even in some cases seen along the Gulf Coast. There's a team that is pulling together folks. They're watching where oil's coming on shore, and they're using that through Twitter, through even text messages, through emails, and posting that on a map so people can actually track this stuff. It's that kind of thing we're talking about, right?
Absolutely. That's the fascinating area of use of this kind of an instantaneous information in disaster management, like what you were saying, reporting incidents as soon as they happen. So action could be taken on that as quickly as possible.
And this is one of the areas that you see as a real something that's going to go on in the future, where citizens are increasingly going to be involved in this process, and it might be a way that governments get information.
Absolutely. In some ways, citizens are the first responders in these situations, and to the extent that they're able to deliver the information from the ground, the more powerful it is.
One of the other real trends that you bring up in here is transparency. And we seem to always be talking about transparency in some form or fashion in government. But making this geospatial data increasingly public, talk about how that changes as we move forward.
There are a number of agencies which are making the data public, especially at the local government, local governments like in Portland, in San Francisco, as well as in D.C., which are giving information such as that of the transit information and even other data, just financial data, crime data, and other data available through the web, which other independent developers can use to produce maps showing different information geographically. For example, there are maps which show the crime data at a very local level. So people can go in and see what level of crimes is in a particular neighborhood before they are buying a house or even for other purposes.
And maybe environmental information. Is there some danger area nearby? In fact, I was just reading a story, New York State or city, I forget which, is putting cancer information, making that transparent, and it's all being put on a map. And you can see if there's pockets of people who are coming up with some kind of cancer, and then maybe there's trends that people can maybe didn't even know about because you couldn't see this data before.
Those are the kinds of interesting uses that are emerging, and these are areas which, like you were saying, we did not have information about before, but there is a potential for use and growth of such use in the future.
I can't let you get away without talking about, because one of the other areas that I hear gurgling around out there are the potential dark sides, and that has to do with privacy and security. And as this, if your cancer data gets out there and somebody can somehow tap into whether you have cancer, there could be challenges there. Is that something folks should worry about?
Privacy and security is indeed a major concern in this. In fact, as the use of information grows so much more, there is even more of a concern of to what extent there would be privacy of individuals. But at most kinds of local government use, we are talking about aggregate level data. So individuals as such are not necessarily identified in that. But having said that, there is a potential for individual data also to get leaked out, and that being used for which could be detrimental in other ways. So there is indeed a problem of that. But beyond that, there are other kinds of uses in which GIS is being used. There is always a fine balance between increasing transparency and having security and privacy.